it's Easter, so in honor of Tripp's death and rebirth.
I like that.
There we go.
Wouldn't mind a little body of Tripp on my tongue, if you know what I mean.
Hey. I'm going to drink his blood.
Yeah. A drip of Tripp keeps fucking flocks away, hopefully.
Oh my god, what do you think he did with the corpse?
They sent it into space. We watched it happen.
Okay, but we don't
what
know.
What did he do before they shot it into
there
space?
Yeah, we don't know. Actually, that's the thing. If I'm Tripp, I'm just
what
like...
What did T'Pol do before?
No!
No, she did all she was going to do. We saw what she did.
But yeah, I'd like
we
to...
know what she did.
I'd like to think, you know, Tripp is looking at Sim like, huh. Hey, Doc, just, I mean, say the other bitch just in case, you know? I let him go...
That's true. It's full of organs. Come on.
They maybe got a bunch of backup Tripp bits.
We don't
I think Chris
know.
Was talking about
I'm
his pecker.
I'm
oh, no,
assuming,
I meant his organs.
Oh, I thought you meant his pecker. That's
I'm
an
just
organ.
Assuming that Phlox, you know,
saved
took everything out. Like, he's just stuffed with newspaper right now.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking too. Yeah. That's what he's just
got, poop.
He's just got a drawer full of spare Tripp pieces, like parts of the Clonus Horror. What the hell are we talking about? Well.
Wow. Yeah. Insert this where it's appropriate in the episode.
Oh no! This is good. This will be.
It's
how
not
we segue into the intro.
It's not fucking neat. Appropriate anywhere in the episode.
Yeah. We're gonna ready 3, 2, 1 theme.
Ugh.
Welcome to A Star to Steer Her By. This is our super quick episode because Jake has diarrhea. My name's Caitlin, and with me today are...
Oh god, it hurts!
Hold it in, Jake! Hold it in!
Hi, folks. I hear Jake's in a rush. That's kind of a shame because I'm feeling really mellow. This is Chris.
I'm going to tell a long, meandering story about Batman or some fucking shit.
I don't think you could make yourself go as far off as the rest of us do, even on purpose.
No, well, anyway, that was Chris and Ames.
Hey.
Moving steadily on, this is episode 347.
Woo!
Wow. Boo, 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 boo. Holy shit.
Right now?
Holy it in.
Today, we're talking about two more episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
I wish.
Voyager?
Nice? Oh, I also wish.
The animated series?
Maybe.
Oh my god, it's Enterprise!
No!
And we'll be discussing episodes Similitude and Carpenter Street. In Similitude...
Oh no, that's Baker Street. Didn't we realize this song like 3 weeks ago?
It's a good song.
In reference to this episode, I think.
Oh, did? Okay.
Never
so maybe it was last week. Sorry, go on.
Thank you. So I feel blessed because this is like the two most simple episodes ever. Like I got thrown a real softball this week. So in Similitude, there's a boom boom in engineering and
Reed did a boom boom.
Reed did a boom boom and Tripp suffered some serious burns,
bodily harm,
brain issues.
Yeah, and he's got head traumas.
He also fell off the catwalk.
Well,
or some
that's
shit.
Where he got the head traumas.
The bet rest of
fucking...
his body should be like molten.
But he's too sexy for his shirt.
So sexy, it hurts. But he doesn't know that it hurts because he's in a coma.
Whoopsies.
Yeah. And,
Coma chameleon.
Jake is so singy today.
You're on it. I love it. Aren't you the one that has the shits?
I don't actually have the shits. I was just...
Oh, I thought you were serious.
If I had the shits, I'd be shitting. I'm not going to sit through an hour plus long thing.
Listen.
Shitting
Jake,
my pants.
You might have had the shits half an hour ago.
That's true.
And it was a real warning. And you were like, listen, this is a fucking ticking time
bomb.
No, I'm
a one and done man, okay?
I wish I was.
I'm not the kind of guy that runs back and forth all day.
Okay, so Tripp's fallen off the warp core. His bones are powder. Then what?
What does Phlox say?
I think he says fucking Sieg Heil, that fucking
sorry.
Fuck.
Fucking Phlox.
All right, anyway, let's try again.
Don't
Ames, ask
don't
me
let
what Phlox
Archer
says.
Off the hook.
I'm going to blame Phlox first, and then Archer
Well, yeah,
second.
They're both horrible.
Well, mostly because, well, here's the thing. Okay, let me just get through this thing really
you
fast.
You said it was going to be easy.
Yeah, it would be easy with normal co-hosts. Anyway, trips in a coma, and Phlox is like, well, Captain, you know, there is a way we could replicate his body with these weird symbiotes. No, we didn't steal just the Trill idea and change it slightly. This is a whole new thing. And actually, it is a whole new thing. But anyway,
we have this Phlox voice.
No, I can't. It's not the voice. I don't know.
The cadence, yeah.
He's got a cadence that I'm trying for. Anyway, but really, I should be going, listen, Captain, we have a very good way to do. So, hey, listen, this literally, we could sum this up in a sentence, okay? Trips in a coma, the doctor's like, hey, you know, there's this thing, and what we could, there's this symbiote thing, and we could we could basically turn it into a clone of Trip. And you might think that's weird, but they really only live for 15 days anyway. What's the big fucking deal? And Archer's like,
we're not gonna torture it or anything.
Archer's like, and he'll be okay? You can do it without hurting him? Yes, Captain. Are you gonna finish that celery? And T'Pol's like, you know they've made this illegal in the council. And Archer's like, I don't give a fuck, bitch. I'm the new sheriff in town.
That was last week.
Yeah. What? Archer.
So they grow a Trip clone. And I gotta say, and this isn't really a summary piece, but like, man, the kid they got looked just fucking like him, right?
They got some good kids.
That was impressive. Good, I was like, casting. Holy shit, dude. So anyway, 10 points to casting door. Or are they casting puffs? Either way, we got young Trip, and he's growing up like really fast. Like within 5 days, he's full grown Trip. And he's got a full grown boner for T'Pol, which he like feels the need to tell her about, which is great. But what's weird is too, is like he's got all of Trip's memories.
That's
which,
how science works.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because right. There are certain things that DNA like has encoded in, like, you know,
the
drive,
evidently.
Yeah, yeah. The drive to knowing that your parents call you Trip. I'm like, no. But like, you know, knowing to go back home to spawn and shit. Like there are certain things.
Where's Trip gonna go spawn?
I don't know, Florida's been exploding.
I think it's going to be gross, and that's exactly where you spawn, too. Ugh, it's all damp and gross. I would say no offense to Florida, but fuck Florida, really. Anyway, he's growing up, and the crew likes him, and everybody likes him, and the captain likes him, and that was one thing that was interesting. He doesn't call him Captain. Did you notice that? I feel like he called him Captain a couple
times.
That's
what I was talking about years ago.
I didn't notice that.
This is the one I was thinking of.
Oh,
this is where he says Captain.
That's amazing.
He said Captain a couple of times.
Trip said Captain. But then full Sim.
You're telling me that fucking he doesn't know why his nickname is Trip, but he says Captain?
Well, here's the thing.
Well, hold on. Let's finish the summary.
I'm gonna hold that thought.
So to finish the summary, we are all really fond of. Oh, his name is Sim. Sorry, they try to think of a name and they come up with Sim, which is like, the fuck, Phlox. Why don't you just name him Subject Number 69? You fucking creep.
Ooh, nice.
Anyway, everybody really likes him, and guess what? It turns out they're gonna have to kill him to save Trip. Who fucking could have seen this coming? And he starts being like, well, why should I die, Captain? I'm Trip. I didn't put him in a coma. And they're like, ha, whatever, asshole. Get on the table. We're doing this.
Don't forget the information Phlox kept from Archer.
Oh, that's right. Yes. That's right.
Prick.
Trip
fucking
Sim.
Prick.
Trip to the second power is like, well, what about the time that they figured out that there might be a way to slow down the aging process? And Phlox is like, what is that, science? We don't believe in that on this ship. There were very small amounts of information. It was inconclusive. It's only a slight chance. And Trip's like, don't I deserve a chance? And they're like, no. Sorry, Sim is like, don't I deserve a chance? And they're like, no. And so right before it's time for surgery, T'Pol like makes out with him real fast and is like, I miss you. I'll miss you a lot. It's going to affect me that you're leaving. And then they kill him. And they strip his body of organs and meat that Trip needs, and they shoot him apparently out of the ship. And the end.
Yeah.
And then real Trip wakes up and is like, what the fuck did I miss, guys? Why am I on a gurney? Oh, God.
So what I was going to say, before I let it slip my mind,
go ahead.
I have a theory, though. I think that Connor Trinneer was consciously trying to make a different, like, create a different performance for
Absolutely.
Sim.
Absolutely.
But the younger actors were probably just coached to emulate Connor Trinneer as Trip.
That's a good point.
So that's why the younger performers say Cap'n.
Yeah.
But Connor says
Captain. Also, like, this Sim has grown past Trip's programming.
Exactly.
Like, once he has memories of right before Trip got in the coma, you're like, you're past where we already knew. Like, you have evolved past normal Trip.
Yeah, that's why I think it works, that younger ones are just more sort of copies, but the older one is kind of his own
Yeah.
Dude.
And I think we can, let's just acknowledge up front, and we can talk about it if we need to, but let's acknowledge up front that the science in this episode is like among the worst in Star Trek.
I mean, this is some Assassin's Creed level, like, oh yeah, no, we can put you in a machine and you can relive your ancestors' memories exactly.
It's like a Dune thing, too, you know, like the Bene Gesserit.
True.
Yeah, but at least they've got weird space magic to help them have all that weird shit. That's true. You know?
Well, yeah, they have spice magic. Yeah.
Well, that's what I meant. I mispronounced it, sorry.
So this one, there's first of all, I think Con Trinneer did a great job as Sim, especially when he was like, you know, what about me?
Oh, yeah, like the whole ethical dilemma. Oh, by the way, directed by LeVar Burton.
That's right.
I think it kind of shows.
Also, I noticed the writer on this episode. We have officially entered the Manny Coto era.
Now, why is that significant?
The what?
Remind me who that is.
He died recently.
Oh, that's a shame.
Which is a shame, but he, I think, is the writer that effectively saved this show. Like, we know how bad this show can
be. Oh, yeah,
be.
We've been watching this show, you see.
And he comes in, and he starts knocking out bangers, like this one. Mm. He's got a couple more this season, and I think he takes over as showrunner in season 4.
Oh, so had we gotten a season 5...
It probably would have been really good, because he's like, he's just really good.
So, and this is interesting, because one of the things I kind of appreciated about this one is that the show didn't approve of any of this.
Explain.
Like, I was talking a while ago about, like, the show seemed to kind of be okay with Archer psychologically torturing a prisoner a few weeks ago.
Right, or genociding a whole race.
Yeah, this episode clearly is not...
You're meant to feel for Sim.
Yeah, you're, like, it is distinctly clear, like, what Phlox and Archer are doing is bad.
Bro, this is some Tuvix shit.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's way
well, no,
worse.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that killing him for his meat is pretty, it's definitely, like, he is obviously the sympathetic character, and he's so fucking likable. It's like, how could you make Trip more likable? Oh, there he is.
There he is, yeah, like, where...
Because this one doesn't have the chip on his shoulder somehow.
Yeah, that's interesting, even though he has all the same memories.
Maybe he didn't have time to get that in his DNA yet. Go ahead, Ames, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I just interrupted you 8 times.
That's
go, go,
I'm
go.
I'm very used to it.
I know.
Where Tuvix is an accident that they had to deal with, and the ethical dilemma was there for the audience to have the ethical dilemma with everyone, Sim was a choice.
Yeah.
And it was a bad choice. And it also confuses me. Like, is this the only one of these larva things that Phlox has?
Hopefully.
When he learns... that Sim won't survive the surgery because they would have to take too much brain
stuff
filament from him. I thought for a hot second, make 12 more.
Yeah.
Ship of Trips.
Well, ooh, a trip
well,
ship.
Like also
ooh.
The even if we assume that like that they wouldn't have had to have killed him to do the procedure.
He's
still got a very limited lifespan. So like they created something that they know is not going to live very long.
And that it would be aware of that.
Yeah.
Like I know that I'm a fucking mayfly basically.
Leave him in like growing up in a tube or something.
Yeah, or
don't
like,
let him talk to the
put
crew.
Put him in an induced coma. Until
really, why not knock him out and just let him grow naturally?
Yeah,
he doesn't need to live out.
That's crazy. A, you got the crew attached to him.
Yep.
And then you also like have a human being with hopes and dreams and aspirations and you're dead.
You know what it reminds me of? I'm going to bum everybody out now.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So in the 1900s, the Russians were doing their space thing. I guess it was probably the 60s.
Mm.
And they didn't start with people. They started with animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the first animals that they, like, shot into space was this little Jack Russell Terrier named Laika.
Oh, Laika.
And before they shot Laika into space, she was a street dog. They took her right off the street. And the head scientist, like, took her home for the weekend and showed her the good life.
Yeah.
And then shot her into space where her fucking capsule overheated and she died horribly.
Yeah.
So that's what this gave me big Laika vibes.
Well, and
I get that, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I referenced it earlier. There's this awful movie that was on Mystery Science Theater called Parts the Clonus Horror, where it's like a bad 70s film, but basically it was an island full of people who were clones of the rich and powerful.
Oh, is it like Island?
Yeah.
So that, yes, because actually that
the people, island?
Yes.
The, one that is.
The funny part is, the makers of Parts the Clonus Horror successfully sued the island for being an unauthorized remake.
Oh, funny.
Was the island, did you say it was M. Night?
No, but it was.
DiCaprio in it, I think?
No, I think it's McGregor and
Joe. Oh, yeah,
isn't
right.
Shutter Island?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so it's basically like rich people have cloned themselves living on this island, being like, you know, kept healthy, training, you know, and kept...
Unaware.
Like, mm-hmm. they are all, like, they're all adults at this point, basically, but they have, like, they're basically, like, childlike.
They're like, oh, every couple of months, one of us leaves the island.
Oh, they get to go to America to live the good life, but it means they're gonna be... It's funny, too.
It's like a fascinating movie.
But yeah, it's just, but they like, and it's funny because, like, again, they will, when someone needs a part, that person's clone is grabbed and harvested. And it's funny because, like, again, they could totally just knock these people out first, but they go out of their way to, like, do it in this horrible way that the clone is horribly aware that something is viciously wrong.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I read this or saw in the news recently that they have successfully transplanted the first pig
kidney, wasn't
kidney
it?
Into a human.
Wow.
Like, it was especially, yeah. It was a specially bred pig with, like, human-compatible something.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, well,
I just read about that, like, last week. It was really
recent.
Yeah,
it was recent. It was, like, Harvard, I think, did it.
Pigs are closer, are very close to us genetically, apparently.
Which is why they're so delicious.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's... But yeah, this is a deeply fucked up. Like,
it's a fascinating conversation to have. I'm unsure what I think of, like, the episode itself, because every time you start thinking about some of the things they do, you're like, yeah, but that's not how any of this works.
Yeah, that I think, like Jake said, you just have to. Yeah. You gotta put that out of your mind.
Okay,
yeah.
Here's the other question then: why Trip? Why do we have to so badly save Trip when, you know, he could just die any fucking day? But we decide, oh, nope, we have to do something immoral to save Trip when we have other engineers,
well,
right?
I think we do, but I think that the writers were clever. Because, yeah, you could ask that question.
And I just did.
But by putting
the ship in
peril, by putting them in that nebula where they were getting encrusted of all that garbage...
Trip is the only one who can figure it out.
Sim was the only what like they like Sim figured out how to get the ship out of the danger. So,
because Sim used Trip's memories and thought Ben-Hur.
Yeah. So yeah. So like I think if the ship wasn't in immediate peril, then you could I think make that argument that like okay, another you know like
I'm gonna keep making that we'll argument because well, I feel can, like other engineers well,
you
would figure
you can
this out.
Certainly make that argument I'm sure but it's wrong
no.
Because in the episode none of the other engineers figured out how to get the ship out of the nebula but
when we decided to clone Trip we didn't know that he would be the only one with this kind of knowledge
at that
or
time
intelligence
at that time we didn't think that we didn't know that the nebula was going to
destroy us
in as short a time as it would have. We thought it was like, okay, we need Trip to fix the ship.
Instead of teams of engineers.
So for me, the answer was simple, because I had the similar thoughts. Like, why does it matter that much?
Right.
And what it comes down to, really, is just Someone John...
needs to fuck to Paul.
John is being selfish.
Oh, well, there's
It's
that.
His
there's
best friend.
Too. Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. Had it been Reed...
Porthos is his friend.
Had it been Reed or Hoshi or like anyone else, that's a shame.
If it was
good thing we have backups.
If it was Mayweather,
like Phlox would have been like, well, I can clone Mayweather with this symbiote, and Archer would be a who?
More like if it was Mayweather, it would be fucking 3 weeks before anybody even noticed. That's what I was thinking.
But yeah, no, like literally, because I had a similar thought. I was like, I mean, does it really matter? Oh no, because it's John's friend, and John is selfish and horrible.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think that another thing that you know both the writers and the director. Mr. LeVar Burton did well is depicting Archer negatively in this.
Yeah, like I said, there is no question he is fucking up in this episode, yeah. Which I am very grateful
for.
He
yells in Sim's face, like, yep. I will kill you, don't make me
and
do
like,
it.
They even
Dude!
Had, I feel like maybe this because they're now in HD. I mean, I guess they were always in HD, but whatever. I happened to notice that like he had a little more 5 o'clock shadow, which I think gave him a more sinister.
Who did?
Archer. John.
Archer? Who has time to shave when your best friend is dying?
Yeah, well, so I don't know. I think that they were very deliberate.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, Chris, like where previous episodes would have tried to make this somehow heroic on Archer's part, like, oh, the captain did the whole nice thing.
Yeah.
This episode is very conscious of, no, this is the wrong thing. We're not showing you this isn't a hero moment. This is just what happened moment.
Yeah, similar to Tuvix in that regard, in that you're meant to think like, oh God, poor Tuvix.
I think,
oh God, poor Sim.
But here's the thing. One thing that Tuvix had that this didn't was a more, like, a character who did have a moral compass. And, like, because in Tuvix, the doctor didn't want to have anything to do with killing him. Like, he shut himself off to avoid having to participate in the murder. Mm.
I kind of found it a little fascinating that, you know, because they just let Sim walk about, do the thing, talk to the other crew members. Like, he talks with Reed at some point, and Reed's like, so what's it like, you know, having all these swells of memories every couple of hours when you age into the new age? And he's like, well, it's fucking weird.
I'm gonna tell you, it sucks.
But there's no, like, awkwardness on the crew members, because they know you're not gonna be around much longer. Even, especially when they know he's gonna die.
Mm. I feel like that would make it, like, immediately more awkward. Yeah. Like, oh wow, you have all the real memories of a real person that we know?
Oh, you remember that time we were both hornswoggled on Risa?
I think probably...
I might have to kill you myself.
For most of the crew, they, you know, well, consciously they know, okay, this isn't Trip. Because he looked and acted like Trip, I think that they were...
And had accent.
happy to bury that thought.
Yeah. Nope. Sorry. I know I have a thought sound. Yeah,
I watched the face. Like, where's the thought? Nope. It's gone.
There it goes.
I also gotta throw some props Jolene Blaylock's way. I thought that she acted really well in this episode.
She did.
Like her...
And the next one.
Like her, emotional acting... You know, it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of Vulcan actors that are not, you know, familiar, you know, they just read the Cliffs notes.
Yeah.
Are like, oh yeah, Vulcans have no emotions. And then they just act, you know, like a robot. But the really good Vulcan actors, of which I think there's probably three to this point.
I would give Mark Leonard one of them.
He's one of them.
Who are the other three? Other two?
Spock.
Tuvok.
And Tuvok.
And Mark Leonard.
And Mark Leonard.
Okay, then there's four.
Right? Oh, now I'm saying...
Okay, we're adding a fourth.
I'm contemplating whether we can add... She started out pretty weak, but she's coming into
I was told going into watching the show that she was going to be terrible, and I have never found her terrible.
No, but
she's a little flat in the beginning, but she improved, and she improved quickly.
And like she's
faster than Dax.
And in this one, it's almost Mark Leonard-esque in the way that you can tell that she's really struggling with the emotions. You know, she gets misty-eyed. Mm-hmm. And again, you can't, like, she's never crying, but you can see it in her face.
Yeah.
You know, her eyes kind of gloss over, and it's just like, ooh.
And when the Vulcan is the one telling you that your mad science experiment is unethical and fucked up, you have fucked up.
They don't feel like they do that much unethical scientific shit, do they?
Well, no, but I feel like this could, you know, this seems like the kind of thing some Vulcans might be like, yeah, needs of the many, man. Little two-week clone, whatever.
I also, like, I did read somewhere that someone says, notice how it's T'Pol and not Phlox telling Archer that this is a practice that's been made illegal on certain worlds.
Yeah. Well, and Phlox is just miserable.
I hate the man.
Because he doesn't tell that to Archer up front, and he must know, and...
He assumes it will work without any reason.
He assumes it'll work, and then withholding the information about the potential treatment for the aging thing.
Well, I mean, Jake, this is obviously evolution. Wants them to die in 15 days.
Yeah.
How we feel about evolution in this house.
Heavy stuff aside for just a moment.
No.
They don't
More have, heavy stuff.
They don't have replicators.
But they have replicants.
Where did the children's clothes come from?
Quartermaster.
Daniels' room. They just reached into that void again and found material.
That was the one thing. I was like, wait a minute. Where'd they get the kids' clothes?
Yeah, that is a good question.
Trip says his favorite dessert, or that he learns, you know, after having some, is key lime pie. Mm. But I thought it was pecan pie.
So did I.
Oh, I don't remember that. I thought it was.
Yeah, they're both great.
I like all pie.
Maybe at that time. Well, no, because he was an adult when he figured it out. I don't know.
I thought it was catfish pie.
Mm.
Gross.
Yeah.
I A savory pie could work, though.
I don't know about fish pie.
I bet there are fish pies.
There certainly are.
No, I know there are fish pies. I'm saying I don't want them necessarily.
No, it's fair. It's fair.
I'm not saying no one would ever do that. I'm sure they would.
We did start off the episode with more
massage
time with T'Pol, and I wrote down, how do you find a way to do a foot rub but still show off T'Pol's ass? They found a way!
Yeah. That aside, I do appreciate that, like, the way they're performing it at this stage is just that it is very matter of fact. Like, even though the script is clearly treating it as hot, the actors are treating it as just a procedure. Mm. Like, they're talking...
That happens to be hot.
But, like, I appreciate that they're not leaning into what the show clearly wants them to lean into. At least at the moment.
I was gonna say, until they... Yeah? Yeah?
I don't remember.
They You're might, lying. But... You remember. He's lying. He remembers.
So, what's the deal...
With that?
With that? What's the deal with Star Trek shows torturing their engineers?
Oh, no.
Because, like,
that's what
like,
they get for not being
I feel
real
like
officers.
Trip is starting to become this series O'Brien in that, like, and it's mostly because he's just a likable character.
I don't know, Reed's gotten tortured a
bit. Yeah, Reed's had some brushes.
He had
but
his
like,
leg impaled.
But, like, Trip's been pregnant. He's been killed now.
Well, it's also clear that Connor Trinneer is one of the. Like spotlight characters of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Like when we get to the next episode and the rest of the cast isn't even invited to filming days, but Trip does get to show up briefly. It's like, okay, we know why people are showing up. They're showing up because they want to see T'Pol's ass and they want to see Tucker's abs. And that's it.
And Trip's pee-pee bulge. And I'm here for Trip's pee-pee bulge.
Pee-pee bulge. And also, you know what? Both these episodes this week, excellent to see Porthos.
Yeah.
Always good to see Porthos.
Oh, he's a good boy.
Team Breezy. Though, go Breezy.
I do feel like, you know, had this been Reed instead of Trip.
No one would care.
Reed clone would have been like, oh, well, you have to kill me. That's fine.
Oh, yeah. No, he would.
Please, no.
I've been begging for death.
Please, yeah. No, here, I'll here, 15, give the gun.
15
no,
days is 15 days too many, as far as I'm concerned.
I won't hurt the brain. I know you need that, but just let me, there we go. And,
no, it would have been like, you know, there would have been a scene while they're doing the surgery, and Phlox comes out, and he's looking all maudlin. He's like, I'm afraid the symbiote died. And then we were like, oh my god, we really liked Sim Reed. And they'd be like, well, yeah, but after the surgery, he just committed suicide.
No!
Oh, that was one thing I liked. The subtle reference to Shuttle Pod 1.
Oh, yeah, that was cute.
I can think one thing worse. Being stuck in it with Reed. I mean, yeah, Reed. Mm-hmm. It was like, I see what you did there. You remember that. It was awful.
Did you guys notice that Mayweather got to do a thing today?
He did.
And that Archer actually fought for Mayweather to be the one to do the thing?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah. He was flying one of the shuttlecraft.
One of the shuttlecraft. So Sim says, I want to be one of the ones that flies a shuttlecraft. And Archer's like, we need your brain, so no. Fucking
tough,
no.
Tough titty, I make the decisions around
I'm
going to
have Mayweather do it, because I remembered his name today.
Yeah, and like... I get why Sim wanted to do it, because he got the idea.
If it were a normal Trip, we let him do whatever, even though he might die.
But, you know, you're not... I wouldn't... Even if it was just Trip, it still would be a bad idea to put, like, the chief engineer in that position.
But he
would have
let
him. Especially if you're willing to grow and kill a symbiote to replace him, and, you know, if he gets into a coma, shouldn't be sending him out on this highly dangerous mission.
I feel like... Phlox has been dying for an excuse to try this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was pretending to be reluctant, but he was like, at last.
And definitely right after they get home and people learn about this thing, they ban it, like, universe-wide.
There's going to be a new law.
Like, I was going to say, like, what are times in future, or in future chronologically, episodes where this would have saved the day?
Mm-hmm.
Picard's heart. Mm-hmm. One of Worf's spines. What else have we got?
I mean, by the time we get to the future, we have replicator technology, like Worf's spine, right? They just replicated a new one.
Yeah, but we could clone him and take organs.
Well, that's the thing, really.
That's funner.
Like, store-bought is fine if you can't make your own, but...
That's the thing that we really have to, again, like, the bad science aside, there's also just the fact that, like, let's be realistic. By the mid-22nd century. They probably can just... You know, like, it's so weird in retrospect that Picard has a mechanical heart. Mm. Like, you're talking about the
24th... Pig's heart, come on.
By the 24th century, they can't just grow a human heart? Well, like, without needing to grow a whole human?
Here's, but here's the thing, though. For an organ like a heart, I have no question that the mechanical heart is probably going to be superior to the human
except
heart.
That one time.
Well, except it has to be, like, replaced periodically.
Yeah, maintained.
Maintained. And but, like, again, if he'd been shot in the chest with a normal heart, there's a good chance he would have got killed, too. You know, I know in that like, Q, I think, was playing really cheeky in that episode.
If there's Q at all.
Because it, right. Well, I'm going to say it was because...
Oh, really?
Q says you would have survived if you had a human heart. He's not saying you would have survived the favorite phaser blast. He's saying you would not have, you would have been such a loser, you wouldn't have been in a position to get shot.
Mm. But I just mean, in general, like, when you think about it, like, I mean, we're... working on it now, I'm sure by the 24th century they could just grow organs.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, like any, but yeah, any basic organ, I think, would be, you know, a heart, a liver, kidney.
Maybe you could argue possibly brain tissue is too complicated even by then, but like, you know, so you could maybe still have this episode, but some of the rest of it is just like, come on, you can't grow a heart. Like, so maybe they offered him one. He's like, no, give me the fucking robot. I'm going to be a fucking RoboCop captain. Or RoboLieutenant, I guess, at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had horribly misremembered this episode. I forgot how, like, actually good it was.
Yeah, I give Trinneer, like, a lot of credit. Like, he is very fun to watch in a very slightly different role than his usual role. Like, I do give him and LeVar credit for finding those little differences. I wish I'd noticed Captain. God damn it. I might have to go back and rewatch because that's...
He actually says it twice, which I forgot about.
I was going to say, I only noticed it like the one time, but I was like, it was like I was startled by it. It like shook me.
Yeah, that's when I mentioned ages ago that we hear him say Captain, and it's clearly a very conscious decision.
I do. One thing I kind of wish they had done is not given him the accent. If Sim had just a more generic American accent.
Connor Trinneer without the accent, because we saw him in a couple things recently, because he comes up in the Terminator show.
Yeah, he's in Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles, and he's in Sliders.
Yeah, and he pops up, and suddenly he's just talking, like, who is this man?
So is the accent fake in this, or?
I'm pretty sure the accent in this is fake.
He does not speak that.
Oh, wow. See,
I still have to listen to his and Reed's podcast because they do seem delightful.
They have a podcast together?
Yeah. They do. I think...
The Shuttle Pod Show?
Yeah, the Shuttle Pod Show. I think Dominic Keating leaves it at some point, but I haven't listened to it yet.
That's Trip?
No, that's Reed.
That's Reed.
Oh.
Trip is Connor Trinneer.
Oh, right. I knew that.
I think they recently had Terry Farrell on as a guest.
Oh, nice.
I feel like someone from Deep Space Nine, but don't quote me.
I think they mostly talk about Star Trek related.
Yeah, they have like guest stars and shit. They're not like a watch show like the Delta Flyers.
Yeah.
Which I also have to catch back up on because I know that since they finished Voyager, they've moved on to Deep Space Nine and that should be fun.
Ooh, hey. That's a great show.
Yeah.
I loved Archer. Archer was just so every single emotion at once when he finds Sim in Trip's quarters and he's like, how long have you been coming in here? Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be in here. And Sim says, these are my quarters.
My room, bitch.
And Archer like screams at him, these are Trip's quarters. And I had like a visceral response to that. Like, I was like, ooh, ouch, pain.
Yeah, I have to give, dang. I gotta, yeah, I'm giving everybody in the cast he gets a gold star.
Everybody gets mad props.
Even Anthony Montgomery.
Anthony Montgomery, yeah, but he didn't do much, but he was great.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
You know, John Billingsley, Phlox.
The slimiest asshole.
He was, yeah, exactly.
I think he does a great job. The character's just awful.
We've had actual Nazis on this show before, and he's worse, you know?
And, you know, and Scott Bakula, who I feel is pretty poor a lot of the time. You know, he stepped it up a notch in this one.
I hate the choice that I would be very interested to see if they did do the let's give Sim the longevity pill and let like normal Trip die would be interesting to me. But I'm, you know, I see why they didn't do it.
But I think that they really were trying to build that expectation, which again, I give credit to the writer on that, is that like throughout the whole episode, you're kind of wondering, oh, are they like, because they did the thing with the memories returning, they're like, oh, is this, are they going to flip this on its head at the last minute and be like, Trip died and now Sim is here.
I kind of wondered that too.
Like, because they could have done that. And they could have even been like, Sim could be like, well, I am him. I'm just, please call me Trip.
Yeah. I'm him, yeah. and I'm, but except I make out with DePaul on
yeah.
occasion.
Yeah, that's, yeah, exactly. That's...
If she didn't know he was going to die, you think she'd have done it?
No. No. And she's certainly not going to tell the other Trip that she knows now.
But does she know? I mean, like, what does she actually, like, are we sure that she knows anything? Or, I mean, you know?
What?
That the other, that real Trip
has a crush on him.
Yeah, that it seems very likely yeah. that well, the real Trip has, I mean, a crush,
I think,
on
the, yeah, I mean,
I think she has the crush on him too, though, and I think that's.
I'm for it. They're both very pretty. They should smash.
Yeah, I think
I would love to watch.
And I think that's.
I mean,
that's what they've been building to with the massage plot is mm-hmm. that like, oh, there's they're trying to establish yeah. a romantic.
It's like I hate the massage plot, but I like them. So damn it.
Alternately. They find a way to keep Sim alive, and then it's like, oh, actually, Trip's gonna be fine. And suddenly, double Trip!
Yay! Like that's, in Farscape!
That's actually kind of what I was expecting, but I didn't think they'd obviously keep a second Trip.
Yeah.
Or maybe yeah, put him in a freezer or something, I don't know.
But what the, like, they did a really, I don't want to spoil Farscape too much.
Love it. I love it so much.
There's a plot in Farscape where the main character gets copied.
And they keep him.
And they keep him. And he's,
for a long time.
Right. And then, like, you know.
I love that.
And eventually, one of them goes away.
And the two of them have, like, the, I know I'm the real one, and you're also the real one, because we're exact copies.
Yeah, it's like.
We're both the real one. Shit.
Yeah, it's a Riker-type scenario. Where okay, it's like yeah. It's not like a, yeah, they're exact copies. So, yeah, I think it would have been interesting, and, you know, since they're kind of doing.
I don't have budget for that.
Since they're doing a season-wide arc, sort of, with this whole Zindi thing, you now have, not only do you have two Trips, you also have a disposable Trip, right? Like, at some point, you can just be like, yeah, Trip, one of these is going to die, and, you know.
I don't know which one. Place your bets.
Maybe Sim does enter a relationship with T'Pol. In like an actual relationship, and there's like a jealousy, like old Trip and Sim.
Now you're just spoiling Farscape.
And then, oh yeah, that is pretty much
on
the
other
plot
hand,
of Farscape, isn't it?
We could just have a two Trip, a T'Pol sandwich with two Trips for bread, and then everybody's happy.
Toasty.
And by everybody, I mean me. I'm happy.
When Phlox was like, we got to come up with a name for him. I was kind of hoping he'd be like, let's call him Quad.
Oh, like for four instead
for
of three.
Four.
Okay, all right, I get it now.
Ah.
I hate that. I love you, but I don't like that.
Well, I know. I was like, what's the stupidest thing he could come up with?
Now I just think...
And somehow he outdid you, because Sim, really?
Now, the question here is Ames, are you going to make a Sim Trip in The Sims and have him live his life?
I actually haven't played The Sims in quite a while now, because I know when I play it, I will play until 3 in the morning every night.
Fair.
The last thing I wanted to, like, you know, have touch on as a topic of conversation is... What did you guys think of Sim making the decision to let himself be sacrificed? Because I know that's like the flip of Tuvix, in that Tuvix didn't want to die.
Oh, yeah, he gets dragged away.
But Sim comes to understand and makes, at least, is a little bit forced into the decision by
yeah.
Archer
yeah.
and Phlox a lot. but it is his choice.
Yeah, I think it does make it... It does change it a little bit from the Tuvix situation because of that, but I feel like there's also a fair amount of coercion going on there.
Oh, for sure.
Well, yeah, he doesn't really make the choice so much as he gets to decide to go instead of being Tuvix. Like,
I could
just
blow my brains out and fuck you guys.
He's literally already been told, like, you're fucking doing it. You're going in the car. He
yeah.
knows, you
like,
know?
Like,
so,
he even said, like, where, like, I could have escaped on the shuttle pod, but where would I have gone?
Bizarre world.
I was thinking he should have, instead of trying to steal a shuttle pod, he should have stolen the Suliban.
Oh, yeah.
Unless that thing comes up again, I'm going to assume that when they were doing the whole upgrade to the Enterprise between seasons, that they removed it and it is in, like, Area 51.
I think what happened was somebody accidentally cloaked it and they haven't been able to find it again.
Okay, I like that one. That one's good.
Like, if somebody will just be, like, walking in some... forgotten cargo bay and just smack their face on something at some point and be like, what the fuck?
It's actually, Reed knows exactly where it is, and that's where he just goes and hides to cry every so often.
Yep, accurate. Eat pineapple cake.
Mm-hmm. That got weird, I'm sorry. But yeah, I think too, part of it is just like, he knows he's not going to live beyond 2 weeks.
And there's no way he can get Phlox to make
it. He was going to say, especially right, he doesn't if know nobody how to fucking make, tries.
Yeah, like, he doesn't know how to make the enzyme. No one's going to let anyone else do it. So he's like, I might as well have a legacy, I guess.
Now, like, I'm not trying to say that Phlox was right, that they shouldn't try this, like, possibly hopeless thing. But, like, even if they did find an enzyme that extends their life, like, we have no idea, like, what kind of havoc that would wreak. Like, if he, I mean, just because he's living longer doesn't mean he's, like, feeling good, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I guess his point would be...
I should at least get a chance.
Yeah. It's you know what it is? It's actually really consistent for Phlox because it's the same. It's very similar to the decision that he made in Dear Doctor, in that it's like, well, I don't know. It's gonna if it you know if I, we should just let things play out naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, yeah.
After I've totally fucked with nature.
Yep.
Wormhole aliens take the wheel.
Yeah.
That is more ethical than anything Phlox does.
Yeah, this is really bad.
He is the worst.
It's real bad. I mean...
People fucking love this character.
I know. Like, I know some of those people.
Everyone on Facebook or on like various other websites and stuff are like, Phlox is my favorite from Enterprise, and he's just so interesting and different and has a different perspective. I'm like, yeah, but his perspective is fucking genocide and killing people.
He is the worst.
Doesn't think of his patients. He decides... Oh, where are we going to let Sim grow up? And my thought was, Trip's room.
Quarters, yeah.
And, like, and he says, no, let's raise him here in sick bay, right next to his adult body, that I'm just going to tell him, don't go look at.
Which he never did. Good luck.
Stay out of the West Wing, bitch.
Trip is a good kid.
Yeah. Speaking of dodgy ethics.
Next.
You would call this just dodgy?
Doggy.
Dad.
Aw, because Porthos gets some cheese.
There was two dogs in this episode. There was Porthos and there was
the dog in the car.
Car dog.
That was like, that recognized Archer for what he was.
Yeah. Like, wow, this is just an asshole. What is happening? All right, Carpenter Street. Carpenter Street opens on a dude, apparently his name's Loomis, thank you, Ames. And he is a blood bank employee, but he's also moonlighting as a sex worker abductor for the Zindi.
Whoopsies.
I know. This is what took a turn.
What era are we in?
I guess it's 100, what did they say, 150 years? So, 2004.
It's 2004.
Oh, the current age.
Yes.
Great, good. So it's 2004. And yeah, so this little fucking dweeb who I thought that I recognized him. First I thought he was the guy that you really love from Voyager, the Mentat. First I thought it was him, because it was very dark.
Oh, he'd be good.
And then I thought it was that, you know, the like...
Are we talking about Loomis or somebody else?
Loomis.
Oh.
You know the guy who plays the Russian guy in the Ant-Man movies? Kind of thought it was him for a second. Yeah, there was some stuff happening.
I can't think of his name, but he's a good actor, too.
No, but this guy is... We have someone, seen him before.
Who is he?
He was
Thrice.
Thrice, you say.
Well, the one I recognized him from immediately was... Revulsion.
Yeah, he was Djarin.
The episode with the really racist hologram character that
had a fish.
Tried to kill B'Elanna, had murdered the crew of the Voyager ship. He was a hologram, kind of looked like Data. He had the same white skin.
Yeah, he's like a hologram superior.
Oh yeah, yeah, and he's hanging with the doctor, and he's like, we could just like kill them all because we're better. Or yeah, some shit like that. Yeah.
That dick.
Yeah. Okay.
So what else? You said he's been on other things. What
he was also one of the flaky skinned dudes from Sanctuary.
The Skrians.
He was one of Hanik's kept men or what have you.
All right, one of her husbands.
And I wrote it down. What was the name of the character?
We love all our husbands.
Lovak, who was the changeling who was pretending to be a Romulan in the Dias cast.
Oh, who helped Garrett escape?
It was the time with
Tane.
What the fuck's Tane?
I love Tane.
Taint.
Oh, that episode. I rewatched that too.
That's
recently.
Such a good
That's
one.
The one where he tortures Odo, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my god.
bad.
Anyway,
bad,
this episode.
Anyway, onto a less good episode.
But when Odo tells him what secret that he hasn't told anybody, okay.
It's a Loomis.
Loomis. So yeah, he's a blood bank. Loomis is a blood bank employee, and we open with him having like a sketchy phone call about like, yeah, I'll get you. Do you have it? Don't kill this one. You almost killed the last one with a sedative. So we cut to him in his car, and he's got a lady of the night approaching his car, a sex worker, and she's like, oh, you're looking for a good time? We can park over there. And then he's like, actually, why don't you park in my handful of ether? And she's like, what? Because it's ether. And she knocks her out. I mean, I assume it's ether. I don't know what else it would be. What else could catnip. It be? Could be catnip.
White out.
Was she Cajun?
Ooh.
Anyway, at first I thought that, like, they said she... I thought they meant that he had almost killed the last one with the ether. And I was like, yeah, I bet he fucking did, dude. Or what's the other one it could be, though? There is another one that you can use to...
Chloroform.
That's it, thanks.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Are they different? They must be.
I don't know.
Who knows? Tell us, readers. Ether, chloroform, same thing? Anyway, this is taking too long, I'm sorry. Listen, I don't want to hear it from
We're
you.
We're still in the teaser.
No.
Yeah.
No, this is after the theme song. He just has the phone call before the theme song. And then the theme song happens. And then he gets his lady.
Oh, that's right. Because before the theme song, we see who he's talking to on the phone.
And it's one of them Zindis. So Damn anyway, wrong, so Daniels,
that
right?
dick, that fucking Daniels is back.
Fucking
Daniels
dork.
Finally shows up, and he's like, "You changed my room."
Daniels is well, back, and he says,
"Moved out."
I have some exposition to tell you to make this episode work.
Daniels, why are you still wearing a Starfleet uniform?
Don't worry about
it. It's like
it.
Q.
it is kind of.
So I recognize you.
Otherwise, what if he is Q? What if he's a Q?
That would make his character make more sense, honestly.
All right, well then I'm in. Anyway, so Daniels shows up and he's like, bro, the Zindi are on the planet 150 years ago fucking shit up, so you gotta go and take care of that. Okay.
Why don't you do it, Daniels? Fuck you.
Which T'Pol actually says. T'Pol's like, he can travel all over the place, and Archer's like, he's busy. She's like, he literally has all the time in the fucking world. He does time travel. And Archer's like, dot, dot, dot.
Shut
dot,
up!
Whatever, get dressed, bitch. So they go to the past, and they get this guy, they catch him. By doing, like, a scan of the whole city and going, like, around in a car. Good job, guys. Good driving.
Archer can drive cars.
I like that T'Pol's like, you didn't turn your lights on. I'm like, how'd you know that was a thing, T'Pol? How the fuck would you know about
Because she saw other cars with their lights on.
Oh, okay. Well, fine.
And no. The fact that Archer figured out, because, to be frank, like, cars are not intuitively, like, designed.
No.
Finding which fucking thing does the headlights.
Yeah. Yeah. Your headlights are off, Archer. That you like it shows outside the car and just the windshield wipers turn
That'd
on.
That'd be a good joke. I'd like that.
Well, they already did that in Star Trek 4.
With the windshield wipers?
Sulu turns the windshield wipers on in the Huey.
Mm. Oh, see, that'd be a good callback.
True. Well, but the thing is, they couldn't make that joke again because they already made him scramble for the radio controls. I don't think.
Anyway.
Anyway,
so we capture Loomis, that dick.
We capture Loomis. He thinks we're cops. We're letting him believe that. And he reveals that the Zindi want people of all blood types for, like, some reason. And T'Pol is,
Vampire
like...
Vampire party.
T'Pol is really bad copping at this episode. Like, she is just calling him a piece of shit to his face, which
I
love.
What is Archer doing, then? Worse copping?
Yeah, oh, no, yeah, that's right. He punches him in the face.
She's just being brutally honest cop. He's being bad cop.
Yeah, but
cop.
What hurts more?
A punch to the face.
Yeah. Oh, that was not from
sharp.
From Scott Bakula.
Back up.
Scott Bakula the fuck up. So anyway,
bad cop and sexy cop.
He's like, we need which one's. Just kidding. It's obvious which one's which. So, he's like, yeah. They all I need now is B minor and G sharp. I think that's right.
All I need is America.
And Archer's like, well, good news. I'm a B minor and I'm going in. So he does, and a fight ensues, and then a chase ensues, and the Zindi have, like, a virus that they're gonna unleash on the planet, and for some reason Archer's like, well, that's no big deal, they only have 6 of the 8, and T'Pol's like, you fucking idiot, that's 75% of people, which isn't true, because we don't really know which blood types they have, some of them don't occur as frequently, pretty sure.
We know they don't yet have AB-ish?
Which is AB? Is that the universal donor? Or
no, universal donors.
Recipient? B B negative? O negative? Oh, okay, I don't know.
And I think O positive is the universal recipient.
I don't know. I think they shoot the Zindi, and that's the and then the cops get Loomis for real, and he's like, "Watch out! They've got ray guns," and they're like, "Oh, ray guns, okay,
there's
buddy."
There's lizard people.
And then the episode ends, pretty much. I mean, like,
yeah, they don't even go back to the future, really. They show us the bodies of the Zindis.
Are they dead?
I assume so.
Oh, good.
Well, but we don't know, because the last time we saw them, the stun setting didn't even do shit, so why would we assume the kill setting's gonna work?
Wow. Yeah, Archer's like, have Reed come mop this up.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Loomis is so bad at being a criminal.
Oh, terrible.
Like, he's picked up this woman who says, hey, I know a great secluded place for fucking.
Yeah, fucking you knock wait her to out get, there.
Yeah, not... Yeah. Pull over on the main street. You literally are watching cars go by while he does. It's like, Loomis, she gave you the low kick.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, this is Detroit. No one's gonna give a fuck either way.
I was just thinking that too. Like, this is how low regard they hold Detroit in.
Beauregard.
We love Beauregard. He's the best.
But yeah, that's just like, dude, what the fuck? Why wouldn't you wait to get to the secluded area? Because
this isn't his job. He's normally just a blood bank employee.
Also, like, who wrote this fucking thing? It clearly ran short. We didn't need the, like, I know it was not that long, but it felt like 10-minute getting fast food scene. Like, I was waiting for him to do an escape attempt or something. I was waiting for it to matter. It literally didn't fucking matter.
That was an escape attempt. He probably figured he had a 1 in 10 chance of the food just killing him immediately.
But here's the thing. Like, if you're going to do a time travel to present day episode, you have to have the awkward Vulcan thing. You know, the Vulcan doesn't do human stuff.
As much as I like Jolene Blaylock, and T'Pol's a good... T'Pol might be my favorite character on this show. Trip is very close. Don't bring the Vulcan.
I know. Why do they all... Yeah, every
he
time...
You have 25 Makos!
So, again,
table
this is because
flip.
Archer just wanted to rub into her face that time travel is real.
That could be.
This episode is all Archer's a selfish dick. That's the title.
Both these episodes are Archer wants his friends around.
The other thing I don't get too is when Archer's like, hey, T'Pol, let's go on a trip, and she's like, why don't you just go with somebody else?
Like Trip.
8 Makos.
And
bring all of them.
And he's like, well, Daniel said I can only bring one friend.
What rules is Daniel's making?
Willy Wonka rules.
Why would Daniel say that anyway?
Suddenly, Trip comes out of his coma on his own, and he's like, I've got a golden ticket! You son of a bitch!
The most stupid about
Daniels.
This episode,
all like, of Daniels.
Is, well, yeah, obviously. But, so the Zindi evidently have time travel capability.
Yeah.
Or their time daddy lets them do it, or something.
Yeah, but here, but, like, great. Then fucking mission over. Like,
true.
Yeah, go back to it again.
Just do it. Just keep fucking doing it until it works. And like there were like T'Pol, terrible fucking logic on that Vulcan. She's like, well, if we destroy their time travel device, they won't be able to return to the future. They don't care.
Also, so she assumes they have a time travel device. Do she and Archer have a time travel device?
No, they're just gonna get pulled back.
Why
by
then assume that they have one?
But even if they did. Even if they did, if I was the Zindi, like, I would just have assumed that the Zindi are planning a one-way trip. Because the only thing that they're there to do is to kill humanity.
Did they know that they were making this virus thing to bring back to their present? Or were they going to do it there?
Why would they do that?
Who knows?
That makes no sense.
Yeah,
I don't understand this.
Yeah, it's a dumb episode.
Because here's the thing. They needed to create the virus, they needed all 8 human blood types.
For reasons.
My assumption is that, like, the virus has to, like, a multivalent vaccine, like, it needs to target each of the specific blood types.
Right, because there aren't poisons that kill all people.
Well, right, whatever.
Table flip.
But here's the thing, if they were going to use the virus in the future, why not just get some humans from the future? Why do you go back in time?
Well, the only reason I can think of to go back in time would be if it was going to make it that much easier for you to get away with it.
Well,
and
right.
That said, then, that's go back to the 60s. But what are you doing in 2004?
What happened to Jesus times?
I assumed it was like a Borg in First Contact plot where it's like, oh, humans are fucking nothing in you know, the 21st century. Let's just go and fuck their shit up.
The funny part is, you say, you know, go back to the 60s. Everything about Loomis makes it like, until you finally find out it's 2004, it totally could have been the 70s. Because he had that shit-ass old car, he had an avocado green fridge.
And he was eating pizza straight out of his fucking bathroom sink. What the fuck? Pizza.
But his clothes, like, everything about everything
never
about
eating
Loomis
at your house again.
Was from the 1970s. Like, I think he's also a time traveler.
Yeah, I did read that. So, apparently there was a discussion of what time era to put this in, and they chose the current era.
Because it's cheaper.
Yeah. Almost certainly because it's cheaper, but Branna claims that there was also like a secondary reason. Sure, Branna.
Oh, sure.
To pick the current era, and that was so that they could make Loomis a more relatable character because people could see.
He's not relatable at all.
But he eats pizza out of the sink. Isn't that relatable?
The bathroom sink.
He's a fucking loser.
Oh, well, that's actually relatable for me.
I was going to say, I think they should have said it in the 1980s. Because then
they could have run into Cole Kirk and Spock. They could have done Tribulations and Alameda.
No, actually, but I have a better idea for something.
Literally
like that.
Not possible, but
go on. But I'll tell you. I'll tell you in a bit. And no, they should have said in the 80s so that when the real cop showed up, it could have been RoboCop.
Okay, you win.
RoboCop shoots the Zindi in the dick.
I also, like, another thing with this whole, like, present era thing is Loomis, fucking moron, again, is like, he assumes these two are cops.
Yes.
It's the early 2000s when human rights have been thrown out the window by this country. He realizes he might be working with terrorists, and he just assumes they're going to treat him well. Like, Loomis, you're not watching the news?
He got punched in the face several times and then asks for a burger.
Yeah, like he's
what a weird man.
That's actually exactly what you do with cops, though. Usually if you're helping cops, they'll feed you.
Yeah.
Fast food.
Again, if I'm in his shoes, I'm assuming this is the CIA. I'm going to get black bagged and sent to Gitmo. Was Gitmo open yet? I don't know. Either way, I assume I'm, you know, going to get sent to a CIA black site and executed.
Was Gitmo not open before 9/11?
Well, yeah, I guess
the
base...
It was a tourist attraction
The
then.
Base was there. I don't know if we were yet using it to illegally jail people.
It still is, Ames, if you know the right people.
Ah, gross.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's a small note, because I'll knock it off quickly. This is the first Trek episode to be rated TV-14 due to the inclusion of prostitution and drugs.
There weren't actually any drugs, though.
I love that psychologically torturing a man a few weeks ago didn't justify that. Nope. But showing I fucking hate this country.
Showing a prostitute
this
exists.
This fucking country. Fuck censors. Fuck all of you fucking scum.
I love when Chris gets worked up.
Yeah.
All right, so I think I'm trying to figure out if this would make this episode better or if I can't. Because I think one of the biggest issues with this episode, because, you know, we've seen the let's go back in time, do a time travel thing, everybody gets to have shenanigans in the past. But in this one, it's only Archer and T'Pol get to have shenanigans in the past. Mm-hmm. We barely have any fish out of water moments except for figuring out the radio or the headlights, which is barely a thing.
Yeah, they're not even fun shenanigans.
So I almost wonder, and again, this is probably not correct, they probably should have just struck this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Two-parter, bring everybody.
Maybe.
Like Future's End.
Maybe.
Bring in Sarah Silverman.
No, definitely don't do that.
I liked her.
I just don't like Sarah Silverman.
The characters on Voyager are all people that we want to see have adventures. On Enterprise, it's like, okay, Archer and T'Pol, maybe Trip, maybe Reed, possibly Hoshi, but like no one wants to like...
So
see
really,
Phlox have fish out of water.
Oh, I thought you were just singling out Mayweather again.
See, Mayweather goes down and he vanishes. Like, where the fuck is he? He spends all day in a joke shop buying some novelty pranks to bring
yes.
back.
Yes.
Gonna get him with this shocker handshaker.
Hand buzzer, yeah.
Like a shooting water flower. Fake gum. Yeah.
And let's be real. If they were writing this episode and it was, okay, we're going to have everybody in the cast time travel, they would have left Mayweather out.
Yeah. Oh, they definitely would.
They would have been like...
They absolutely would.
Yeah. They were like, so someone's going to stay on the ship and make sure everything, nothing breaks. But it's time travel. Nope. You guys, you're going to sit in the big chair today. Ooh, goody.
Yeah,
Yeah, because the second they said, okay, the second it's T'Pol in the past with her hair covering her ears, fucking lazy. Give her a hat at least. She'd look great in a cute hat. Come on.
But I mean, like a lady's bucket hat, like Spock in the terrible Gary Seven episode.
There are like no good nudges, good like not word nudges
references.
This episode could have.
No, wait.
But it's not a comedy like all the other time travel episodes.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, the people who were writing the episode were living in the 2004, so I kind of wonder if that means that, like, it was hard to see the things that were stupid about 2004.
Well, no, but I mean, the people in all the other time, like, I mean, they were living in the 90s and 86 and the 60s.
I mean, the one thing they had was going to the Burger King or whatever
Burger place.
And that was just dumb.
And realizing there is no food without meat in it, because even the salad has bacon.
No, well, you can add bacon. I didn't understand why she didn't want it.
Because
they just
said no,
but you could add bacon.
Because
someone in there has touched the bacon.
Well, but not only that, but just like she realized like just that whole kitchen is just lined in animal grease. The lettuce is delicious.
I liked that after they left Burgerland, that he offered T'Pol a French fry, and she was like, no, and he was like, have it your way. And I was like,
I missed Burger King,
nice job.
I missed that.
It gave me a little chuckle. I was really paying attention this week, can you tell?
That's a good one.
French fries are pommes frites.
Pommes frites.
I also like that T'Pol, like, judged Loomis so hard. I mean, at first, like,
that was hilarious.
Every moment of the day, but then especially when he lights up a cigarette and, like, the acting in Julian Blaylock's face was, what the fuck is he doing?
Extinguish it now.
Doesn't he understand what that is?
Good. Even the Ferengi were like, they fucking breathe poison? The fuck is wrong with these people?
Yeah, no, that was, I think, one of the few things I really enjoyed was her just constantly belittling Loomis. Because
he has no ethics.
He's terrible.
Granted, the deal he made with Dameron was pretty decent, because I think 5,000 per person? Pretty good.
And he's still eating bathroom sink pizza?
Well, wouldn't they have actually made good on it? Because where are the Zindi getting money from?
Well, they must have, because they've been paying at time of delivery.
Oh.
Because he said, they were like, we'll pay you for all three once we have them all. And he's like, nuh-uh, you said on pawn delivery like the last time. So he's already got at least 20 grand from these guys.
They probably have a device like Archer had to go raid a fucking ATM.
Or they're just
but they're fucking lizard monsters.
Yeah, they don't have any.
Speaking of,
they don't have any pockets to put that shit in.
One of the lizard monsters was Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
It was, and apparently, wrong notes. This notes. Apparently, this is the episode that made him want to quit acting.
Wow.
Because it was just so hard to want, like, act under all the prosthetics. Like we've said before, like, there are certain actors who can do it. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who at the time wasn't a big name yet, for listeners at home who are like, huh? Negan from Walking Dead. Other things.
Supernatural, he's the father.
I'm sure that's
true.
Oh,
shit, he's Mr. Winchester?
Yep. We recently also saw him in an episode of Sliders.
Oh.
Everyone is in
Sliders. He's in all kinds of genre stuff now.
But no, like, if people who can't do it, like, is just fucking torture.
Yeah. Yeah, no, when you see him now, it's never under 10 pounds of makeup.
No. 2 pounds. I wouldn't have even noticed it was him.
I saw his name in the credits, otherwise.
If I hadn't read this note.
Yeah, if I hadn't seen the name in his credits, I never would have realized.
But I feel like this episode just kind of ends, huh?
Yeah.
I kind of felt a little bit that way about the episode before, but not quite as much.
Well, basically, yeah, I mean, Torpedy went into space.
Well, yeah, but we don't see Trip, do we? Waking up?
Yeah, they pan over to him. He's at the funeral.
Oh, okay.
He's at the funeral looking real fucking confused.
This is... Captain, this is fucking surreal. This is some Tom Sawyer shit to the next level.
Did Phlox have the fucking taste to stay away from the funeral? Do we see Phlox?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, he was in the back jerking it the whole time.
Wow.
Probably.
So what was it like talking to me, T'Pol? Fine and logical, nothing happened. What? I didn't ask him that. What?
Yeah, so in fucking Carpenter Street, like, I think... all the Daniel stuff took me out of it fucking immediately.
Well, because that's what he always does.
He just shows up to be like, here's the next thing for the episode. And they're like, why don't you help? I don't know. Why don't you know what's going on? And the quote is, I wrote this down because, oh my fucking God.
Oh yeah, this fucking shit.
Back to the Future rules.
It takes a while for changes to ripple through time. Daniels, fucking no. Have you seen 12 Monkeys? Fuck you to death, Daniels.
Well, like I said, it's Back to the Future rules.
And he says, it would take too much time for me to fucking help. You have time. I hate you
all
to
the time in the world,
like,
literally.
If the changes haven't rippled through time, how do you know about the Zindi in the past?
Have I said before that he gives me, like, little bitch boy Zuckerberg vibes?
Yes.
Yeah, because I really, that's my big problem with Daniels. I just hate looking at his weaselly little face.
I, like, it's so frustrating that the episode realized the flaws in their own logic but couldn't come up with good explanations.
Because there aren't. Because otherwise, because we do need Daniels to give us a reason why we have to go into the past.
Yep.
Because they always need to go into the past because it's Star Trek.
Yeah, but this didn't need to be a time travel
No.
episode.
That's a good point. They could have, but they have to get back to Earth, and they can't while they're in the Expanse.
Or they could, like...
Ugh.
If they had perhaps set up that...
They kidnap all the Makos or something, because they're pointless.
Mm.
Yeah, it's another Mako
some,
free.
Yeah, the Zindi captured some humans, and yeah. We have to go rescue the humans that got captured.
But then we don't get to play, you know, dress up in modern clothes.
Yeah, well, because it's stupid. It's like...
It's so stupid.
Who wrote this?
I'm pretty sure it was Braga, but I didn't write it down.
Yeah, this is hacky. This is a hacky one.
Yeah, like, it's not even a fun, goofy time travel episode. It's just... Yeah. No.
It was poor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was written by Berman and Braga.
There we go.
You can tell because they're the ones who are like trying to force the Zindi and time travel plots together in throughout the season, whilst, like, you know, like you said, Manny Cotto comes in and does a different thing. That's just taking place during the thing we're doing.
Hey, yeah. Guys, Archer's bad, says Manny Cotto, and Brandon and Braga go, what? No.
I feel like if they had all that extra space that they had to fill in with a fucking prolonged Burger King 30 reference.
30-minute Burger King ad.
I don't understand why we didn't get the Zindi Council. They could have explained it, what was going on.
They could have been, yeah, because...
Well, we already knew
they
that they were working.
Sometimes.
We do know the Zindi Council. Like, we already had...
Bring back Rajin!
About, yeah, about, oh, we're gonna proceed with the bioweapon idea. No, it wasn't established that this was also a bioweapon in time idea.
Well, because somewhere they learned that they need 8 different blood types, which is totally a thing. Arg.
Maybe it's the only way to be sure, you know?
Yeah, the fucking Zindi are Dr. Evil levels of overcomplicating things.
Yeah.
Like, where are they on the scale to where Romulans is 10? Because Dr. Evil's kind of also got that incompetence bent. Not that the Romulans ever really pull it off either. But...
Well, no, because they're trying to get so complicated they defeat themselves. It's like the brain.
Yeah, I love that Archer has just decided, Loomis is basically Zindi, therefore I can punch the crap out of him. It's like, Archer is incredibly unlikable.
Oh, deeply.
Yeah, he sucks.
Like, how can people get behind him as a Starfleet captain?
In his defense, though, I wanted to punch that guy, too.
Yeah, but Starfleet people should be above that.
Right, but this is...
This is just a guy that they picked up who is, like... Who is... And as clueless as they are what he's doing.
Except that he knows that he's kidnapping people and taking their blood and dropping them off in a fucking weird warehouse in the middle of nowhere in Detroit for $5,000 a pop. I mean,
I feel like
no matter who you are, you have to fucking know that's shady.
Loomis is
if
a piece of...
If they were doing some fucking legit research, they would just be like, an ad in the paper. Hey, we need some blood. Would you like to give us some?
Yeah,
we'll
like,
pay
Loomis
you.
Is
they
definitely...
could do it cheaper that way, too. Yeah. Why didn't they just do that? I'd give them a fucking pint of blood for $100.
Well,
like, what the
it
fuck?
It seems like they needed, like, persistent access to the blood.
Yeah, whatever. They do fucking sleep studies where they wake you up all night. I'm just saying.
Well, they could have, but here's the thing. They could have lured people to their creepy warehouse.
They could have just robbed the blood bank with their future tech.
Well, but there's that part about needing them there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they just go back. Like,
yeah, but maybe, yeah, I don't
hit
know.
A bunch of different
maybe ways. Maybe they're not using the blood exactly, but they're using... I don't fucking know. It doesn't matter.
None of it makes sense.
But they,
that's
yeah,
right, because
they're
only using blood. They're not using the rest of the human
so
that's
like,
laying there for
since,
anything.
Since Loomis says that he's never seen them, I'm assuming that they hired him by...
Phone.
By phone.
They sent him a fax.
Yeah, like they looked in the yellow pages for the local blood bank. They called up.
Which put me on with your sketchiest blood bank employee.
Yeah.
And everybody knew exactly who that was. They were like, ooh, yeah, Loomis is here. Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
Like, how many blood banks did they call asking, like, trying to convince somebody that works there to come into their sketchy warehouse?
I want
to
see the reptilian Zindi under, like, a human face, like, a human mask walk in and be like, hello, I am a human person.
It's like... Oh, like Ted Cruz.
Brilliant.
Maybe, here's what I'm assuming actually happened. They found out where Loomis lived. Or, like, they found out where a blood bank employee lived.
And then found a blood bank.
They went to his house, waited till he was asleep, and then blasted Edward Van Halen music into his ears.
Edward Van Halen.
That's a Back to the Future reference?
And then, yes. And then when he woke up, right? He's like, I am Darth Vader from the planet Vulcan.
There you go.
Like, how would they even know?
They read an encyclopedia.
This clearly is the pathetic one we can manipulate. You don't know humans. You don't know what a pathetic human life looks like now. Never mind in 2004. So, like,
it gets dumber the more I think about it.
It certainly does.
Yeah, I still think, like...
And I already thought it was dumb.
It would have been way easier and cheaper for the Zindis to just kidnap the people
themselves. Just attack the fucking Enterprise, kidnap its people, like we've been saying for weeks now. Jesus Christmas.
Yeah,
they kidnap Sim. Oh, no! We have to make 5 more.
Yeah, maybe not all 8 blood types are represented in the Enterprise crew. And they're like, oh, the only other way to get the 8th is going to be time travel.
Ugh.
Also, here's one for your noodle.
No.
Yum.
If Archer and T'Pol hadn't gone back in time.
Oh, no.
They would not have, like, the Zindi would have succeeded in annihilating, presumably, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure, maybe.
But here's
the thing. I don't know if I give them credit. The Zindi do seem like fools.
In Twilight, they certainly did not go back in time.
That's different timelines do different, god fuck damn it.
But the Zindi were already working, because they started working on this after Regine. So they've already started, they started working on it before Twilight. And then Twilight. So this should be in the same timeline of Regine. And Twilight should also be in that timeline. So what I'm saying is the Zindi must not have succeeded. Without Archer and T'Pol interfering.
Archer is just magic. They just accept it.
Or Daniels sent somebody else back to deal with it in that timeline.
Or Daniels fucking grew a pair and did it himself.
Nah.
Fucking goddamn Daniels.
Yeah, the fact that Daniels exists also, like, reduces any stakes on the show, because you know, well, Archer's got to succeed. There's no chance that he doesn't, because the future's cool, because Daniels is here.
Well, maybe Daniels is kind of immune to the timeline, kind of like how... Oh, brain. Anorex was immune to the timeline in Year of Hell and shit, and I don't care. I'm so done with this fucking shit.
That would have been, yeah, if Anorex would have been such a better character, and it would have made my RoboCop...
I liked Anorex as it was!
No, I'm saying, like, if he was here instead of Daniels...
Oh, yes!
It would have been a way better character.
It would make no sense.
Yeah, but it would have made my RoboCop crossover work
That's
better.
Fine. Okay, accepted.
I think what I said a few weeks ago, like, it should have been Braxton the whole time. He's like, All right, I can't stop Janeway directly. I will just stop the Federation from ever being in that world.
Here's a different episode they could have done. It's not a bioweapon the Zindi are doing. They have a great plan. They're going to stop First Contact. And we just have an episode of Enterprise where they're in Montana, and they run into, like, Riker and Troy at the bar, but none of them know who they are. And Riker kind of looks at Archer like, you look familiar. Doesn't that guy look like Jonathan Archer? you mean from the history book? I know why that's what...
Who's that voice?
That's Troy. I don't know.
Oh, I thought, I thought it was Nog recognizing Sisko in the book about Earth.
Yeah.
Because it kind of had a Nog cadence.
So we could have like a weird crossover episode where like T'Pol and Archer are in Montana. They have no idea that the Borgs or the other Enterprise is there. And then you just have like Frakes and Sirtis...
That'd be a great way to get
episode of Enterprise.
That'd be a great way to get Frakes into an episode of Enterprise.
Okay, even better though, yo, who shows up? Fucking much older Velcro dude from Carbon Creek. He's still alive.
Oh, Mistral.
But yeah, Mistral, but he's like almost 200 and he shows up and he sees T'Pol and she sees him and there's like, fuck are you doing here?
But she doesn't, but that's not actually T'Pol. She doesn't actually know him. He knows her.
Yeah, but she's seen photos. Oh. Or that, yeah, he just looks at her and is like, holy shit.
You look just like Tamir.
Yeah, I think that would have been a fun, like, that would have been a fun crossover episode, I think, if they had done that. And then, like, yeah.
Sure.
Hey, Caitlin mentioned Nog.
Eggnog. It's Easter. Easter eggnog. Nog.
Good job, Jake. Holy shit. All right, well, jump on the Segway because you found it, apparently. So, yes, well, that brings us to our Blogtivity character spotlight week because I am so fucking done talking about Enterprise forever. And we're going to spotlight Nog this week.
I want to go first this week.
One.
Woo! I never get to go first.
Noggin.
Actually, I think I made you go first few weeks. No, you jumped right in for, I think, Odo week and then realized you only had, like,
two
and then had to... I think I actually have a bunch of good Nog ones.
Great, go for it.
Ames, is that all right with you? Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Ames just has to last.
I'm done. I've given up on Enterprise.
Ames, I'm sorry.
I had one more note, and that was thank you to T'Pol for stunning a man on stun.
Good point. Good point.
Done. Done with Enterprise now.
Stun. Nog, good stuff. Okay, so Nog helps O'Brien get that piece of equipment by using the great river of whatever the fuck. They like trade Sisko's desk and then they get some stem bolts. And I know it's just the stem bolt episode again, but anything you do to make O'Brien's life easier is nice.
Yeah. He figures out the little desk problem, which is very cute.
And then he helps the Dauphine or whatever the fuck her name is when she's like, my dad is dead and I make bad decisions. And he's like, let me explain to you about how negotiation works or whatever. He's like, it was about opportunity.
Yes, what if instead of, you know, the river, you just take the fish from the river, because that's all you want anyway, right? Brilliant, Nog.
And you
had a bunch.
I thought I did. I had
you
two. Two is a lot for me, to be fair. They're good Nog shit. Oh, I mean, duh, he joined Starfleet.
Oh, yay!
All right.
Have we done Jake Sisko? Are we going to do Jake Sisko?
We're doing Jake Sisko.
Oh, good.
Whatever the next time is.
Oh, good. Because, God, he's...
Because, no, we're going to skip Jake Sisko, but did Nog.
Well, that's why I was... Well, I guess I was kind of surprised we were doing Nog first.
Well, I'm doing... Because I just clumped the Ferengi.
Dude, that's fine. I'm not judging it. I just thought it was unusual.
So I'm going next.
Mad.
Because Caitlin already said two of mine.
Yes.
You
don't come up with spares?
No. Being his own person and joining Starfleet, you know, being like, because I don't want to be a typical Ferengi.
Oh, and more like than that, I don't, yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to be like my dad.
That loser.
Helping Varys in The Storyteller. And almost the same thing as getting O'Brien stuff. Oh. Helping Jake get Sisko a baseball card.
Oh, I love that episode. They're so sweetie.
So really, you said two and a half of mine.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Wait, but that was a third one then, right? That wasn't the self-sealing stem bolt episode.
Yeah, that's
The land episode.
That was the land one, but that's the one where they're getting, like, hemoglobin for...
Yeah, they get
like,
captured by
boredom,
the dude.
Boredom guy or whatever the fuck.
Well, that's the one with the card. Yeah. That's in the cards.
Yeah, the one with the baseball card.
They don't get captured by him. They get captured by Wayoom.
Right.
But that guy buys the card.
Yes.
And they want to buy the card from him, but he won't sell it to them unless they get a bunch of random crazy shit.
Unless do nice things for everybody on the station,
pretty
and
much.
I love it.
But yeah, because he thinks he's found a way to extend life by boring cells.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, joining Starfleet, I can't not say it because it's, you know, it's defying Ferenginess, I guess. Yeah, I also put in the cards, but now that it's already kind of been said 1.5 times... I'm kind of trying to think if there's a different one I could do.
I mean, there is the other Stimbold episode.
Yeah, but that wasn't great. I'm not asking you for help. I'm trying to think. And then, I think this one trumps it anyway. I guess it didn't really succeed, but trying to help Jake save Sisko in The Visitor.
Oh, wow. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, no, that's good.
And, like, pulling the Defiant out of mothballs and putting his, you know, getting the band back together.
That's a nice moment.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. It's a good...
Wait, so that was two from you, Jake.
No, In the Cards was the other
one. In the Cards was the other one, okay. So you did go with In the Cards.
Well, I mean, I just haven't thought of another one that's not In the Cards.
Okay, well, I'll say...
I actually combined them on my list, the desk thing and In the Cards, so... I technically have four.
Yeah, the other one being Treachery, Faith, and the Great River.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say Progress, because why not? Because that is the self-stealing Stimbold episode.
There we go.
And it gives us self-stealing Stimbolds for the rest of time, and that's amazing. Good for them. I like that.
And for the rest of time, all of us will continue to fuck up saying self-stealing Stimbolds.
Thank you, Nog.
Oh, Christ.
And I like that. I think that's kind of cute. I will also say just fucking all of Paper Moon. Just all of it. Because he's just fucking tremendous in that whole episode.
That's not my bad one.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I think that the actor did a great job. I sort of feel like it's also sort of not on my good list.
Well, I'm putting it on my good list because, you know, he finds a way that's appropriate for him to battle his PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And
by punching Jake Sisko in the face.
Well, Jake probably had it coming.
And the last one I'm going to give us is a smaller moment, but it's when he rats on those Red Squad kids.
That's what I was thinking of when Jake said he needed one more. Yep, that's a great one.
In Homefront or Paradise Lost. One of the two, they're the same fucking episode.
Prairie Dice.
I think it's Paradise Lost, actually. It is, in fact. I just watched that one recently.
And good for him, because he's a little rat fink, and that's great.
Rats never get points in my book.
Oh.
Wow. What, did you go to private school?
It's fucking tattletales, what he is.
He did what he needed to do.
Snitches get stitches. Or in the future, they use a dermal regenerator.
Yes, snitches get redermal generated.
Snitches get scars on their head if they don't sit still, Quark. That one where he gets the brand. And he's like, and Julian's like, shut the fuck up and sit still. I've watched the series like 6 times now, Ames. I mean, I know a little bit about it, finally.
Well, if you know a little bit about it, tell us some bad moments from Nog.
Bad Nog moments. I dare you. So, ratting out Red Squadron.
I double Nog dare you.
That's good. That's very, I'm going to, great. Good work. Very good. Though he was smart enough to rat out Red Squad or whatever, he jumps right the fuck on board with the fucking crazy train kids that are all taking speed and running the ship after their adult people died.
Is that what it's called? The Valiant?
I couldn't remember. I keep wanting to call them, like, Red Squad.
They are Red Squad.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, so it is. It's still Red Squad.
The ship is the Valiant, but yeah, the kids are Red Squad. And, like, here's the thing. They're not fucking kids. They're fucking adults. They should know better.
Well, also true, yes. But that whole episode is fucking crazy.
They're just young adults.
No, I was going to say, if you're in Starfleet, don't you have to be at least like 16 or 17 or 18? Yeah, 18
is like, no, that's too much.
But also, they're not like first-year cadets. They're like the top of the top. That's true.
So they're at least 22, they get 21, no 22 points. Probably. Would you say?
Good day, sir.
How long is Starfleet?
You lose.
How long is it? Is it like a four-year
The assumption has always
program?
Been 4 years.
I don't want the assumption. I want the facts.
I don't think they've ever established it.
All I remember is that one of the actresses in that episode was specifically 16 years old. So,
oh, wow.
Well, going on 17.
What else you got, Caitlin?
The time he tricked that woman into doing umox in Area 51.
Oh yeah, that's
at the tippy top of my list because every time there's umox, it's gonna be on
umox. Umox is bad. Like all umox is bad. Once again, Jim Jordan in the jerk off bank with his son.
Whatever his name is. Yeah,
Mike Johnson.
Mike Johnson.
Oh, Johnson. That should be really easy to remember since he apparently can't stop playing with it and needs to, like, have accountability with his kid. And one of my, like, I don't know if this is actually, no, the thing is, like, Nog is kind of like a little twat, but he's never done anything, like, aside from, like, the sexual assault. Boys will be boys, am I right? He doesn't do anything, like, super duper egregious. But when he and Jake go on that double date and he treats his date like a fucking, well, a Ferengi, I guess, but like still, it's just so gross. It's not like you've never met humans. It's not like you don't know how you treat Jake. It's not like you don't see men and women together all the time. Like, you're the only Ferengi on the ship.
Yeah.
You literally talk to women
every
day.
Chew my food for me, because that's what women do.
Stop talking and chew. Like, what the fuck, bro? So that's one of them. And that's a horrible episode.
And that's literally the episode before he decides to go to Starfleet. It's like, dude, why are you going to Starfleet? There are women
there.
They
love womanizing in Starfleet, probably.
Because he's only read about Kirk. Yeah. Literally, those were my three.
Oh, me too.
Awesome. Except I said, I called it Red Squad simping, specifically.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna call an audible here because I also had the same one.
We swept.
No, I had two of the same ones. The one that I was not the overlap was not dealing in Paper Moon. Like,
I love it when they're on both lists.
It's like Eisenberg, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Oh my god. So
and like,
good.
And I do feel bad for the character because he was going through some shit. That behavior was not acceptable.
And you're right, because, like, at first it was, like, okay, but then eventually he's like, and actually I'm never leaving. And it's like,
And it's like, but, like, and, like, I think if we're going to pick a moment, it's when Jake comes in and gets into a fight.
That's a very definitive.
So, all right, I'm calling audible here, we get a couple more in there. I'm going to say very, very early Nog. The delinquency
which time? There's so many.
I was thinking of the time when they put that color changing itching powder.
Yeah,
I forgot about that one.
That's in A Man Alone. I have that one.
And actually, wasn't he like? Wait, do you have more? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Wasn't he like big racist about the flaky people?
Everyone was.
Yeah, but wasn't he kind of like the Tinder? Whatever, I don't know.
Kindling?
No, that's not it. Don't worry about it. But wasn't he kind of the one that started the shit? Like, because doesn't he, like, get into a big confrontation with the two of the boys? And then they're like, we're going to kick your ass. And, like, Quark's like, get the fuck off our station. And that's when all hell kind of breaks loose between the two. Because I feel
kind of
like that's...
Quark was involved.
No, Quark was... Yeah, Quark... I think Quark shows up and is like, hey, don't talk to my nephew like that. Because he's already mad about the Skrians, and then it was like an excuse to use his nephew to his advantage.
I don't know. I'll bring this up next time when we do the Jake Sisko one, because that one's definitely on my Jake Sisko list, because Jake, I think, gets in the physical fight with Walter Koenig's kid, right?
Yes.
Okay. But that's a bad Jake moment. We need one more bad, very Nog moment.
I'm going to swap out one of my good moments just to add more variety.
Wait, what? You're making one of your good moments a bad moment?
No. I'm gonna add another good moment.
Oh, god damn it. That's not how this works, Jake.
I'm going to say, again, defying Ferengi tradition and going to school, specifically. The school that Keiko ran. So I'll swap out joining Starfleet for that, since we already got Starfleet covered.
And to be fair, Rom did initially enroll him.
Yeah, but he went.
Fair.
And he learned how to read, which is good. We'll say that.
We'll talk about that next week.
Aww,
I bet.
Yeah, because that's so good.
With
Jake.
Such a honest to God, what a sweet baby.
Right,
like
so
I just
another
Jake
bad moment.
Love Jake's sister.
Let's go with. I'll just go with one of the ones I had since I'm just not thinking of it. So I'm gonna say. The behavior on the date, the double date.
Yeah, that's another good one. Yep, that's pretty gross. Luckily, I have a bunch of spares because those were also my top three bad moments. Because fuck Umox, fuck Red Squad, and fuck being a racist on your date. But here's some spares. In The Ascent, when he's, rooming with Jake, he's the biggest fucking tight ass out of fucking nowhere.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's a bit of a pill.
And it's like, really? Come on, this is your friend. At least be decent to your friend.
Yeah, but Jake is kind of being...
He's being hugely inconsiderate,
That
will be on our Jake list next time. So, you know what? They were both dicks to each other, so they're both going to probably get some sass from me about it. Yeah. So there's that. I thought it was fucking gross when he sees like the soldier with his war trophies in the siege of AR-558 and he's like, look how cool that is. He's got all these Ketracel white tubes. I'm like, Nog, stop it.
Yeah, that's some serial killer shit, dude.
And then I just have three early him being a miscreant moments that I'll just kind of lump together. Or they'll possibly fill out the rest of the blog post list, because there aren't that many bad Nog moments, because, you know, after he stops being a miscreant in the first season, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's kind of a naughty boy for a few minutes, and then he's like a pretty good boy.
Yeah, so the bad moments I have that itching cream incident, which I think we mentioned already.
That was one of mine.
Yeah, so I'm lumping together. Oh. So there's that one, there's the him stealing shit in Emissary, and then there's the him filling Odo's bucket with oatmeal.
Oh, yeah.
To trick Jake into thinking they'd killed Odo.
Okay, but here's the thing, that's kind of funny.
That's kind of funny, but it's also, like, fucking cruel, man.
To Jake?
To Jake!
Oh, okay, not to Odo. I was gonna say, I was like, Odo's a dick. He kind of, I mean, not that I don't love him, I do.
A Mayweather level prank. Right.
That's actually where Nog got it. He read about it in one of Hoshi's logs. That's what
Mayweather will eventually write a series of memoirs that doesn't even mention his time in Starfleet. It's just my life in classic pranks.
Yeah, but nobody.
By
whoever that guy is.
Travis Mayweather. I literally forgot his first name.
Yeah, but no one will ever read that because.
Well, no, that's
how Nog gets it, actually, is because it's kind of like how the E.T. Atari game just became a big flop and they had, like, a whole fucking just Grand Canyon full of that shit. That's what happens to Mayweather's book pads. And one day Nog finds one. Fucking, they've got 12 gross of My Life in Pranks by Travis Mayweather. How to Prank Friends and Inconvenience People, actually, I think is what it was called. And, yeah, so he finds a shitload of them. He tries to sell them. No good. He settles for reading them. The end.
There you go. Cool story, bro.
Shut up. It was great.
Save it for the fanfic.
Ooh.
Ooh. More fanfic. Good God, we're going to have to enter right now. Yeah,
somebody better.
If I get Mayweather, I'm just going to put his picture up in the left-hand corner of the screen while I read my fanfic, and that'll be him being part of the fanfic, guys.
No, here's what it is. Our fanfic theme for Enterprise will be the many pranks of Travis Mayweather.
Aww. That would be fucking awesome! Like, you got punked, Mayweather edition. No, it's just called punked. Sorry.
Oh shit, the warp core's gone great! Shovel pod. Putters away. You got pranked.
Yeah, all of our things are just going to be Travis Mayweather hosting a 2000s era MTV prank show a la Ashton Kutcher.
That's what he could have done.
You've been Mayweathered, son.
He accidentally invents punked back in
2004. Ooh.
Sorry, did you get all three on there?
I got like 12.
Great. There we go.
Shitting.
Well.
Oh, and one more naughty nog.
Ooh.
He was like,
I need more.
He was like selling Kira's like spring ball paddle at his like bar mitzvah yard sale.
Oh man, I forgot this.
He stole her spring ball paddle?
Yeah. She was like, well, I've been looking for this. And he's like, oh, I found it. She's like, yeah, in my quarters. What the fuck?
That's good. That's good because I need to fill out the list because I didn't have a very long bad moment list.
Little remnant of Naughty Norg.
I can't remember if that was the only thing that Naughty Norg stole, but I think there might have been one other item. The Naughty Norg.
All right, well, that episode all wrapped up and shot out of a torpedo tube.
Oh no, Sam.
Next week, we are giving ourselves a bit of a break. We probably should have done this back in DS9, but this next week we are doing a 10 forward and looking at the Blade Runner duology.
Sure.
I think that's the word for it.
I like how you say we're giving ourselves a break and we're like, you're just going to do more shit.
Yeah, instead of doing two episodes, we're doing two full-length fucking movies.
True.
So there's many editions of the original Blade Runner.
That's true.
Should we settle on which one we're going to watch?
The unicorn and the...
I had assumed, the director's cut.
Well, there's a director's cut, there's the final cut.
Which one has the over...
The voiceover, or the theatrical
That's
cut?
That's the theatrical.
Isn't that the right one?
No.
We've all agreed that one's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh. I think it's terrible no matter what version we watch.
I guess final cut, probably?
Sure.
I'm not even sure what
I don't know what the difference is.
I don't know either.
Because I don't remember this movie. Which one has the most cheap?
Neither of them.
God damn it! God fucking damn it!
Yeah. So yeah,
next more sheep.
Next week, probably the final cut, I guess, of Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2049, which luckily only has one cut.
But I haven't seen the other 2048.
Nice, Jake.
Yeah. Nice. So, yeah, join us for that.
It'll be a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be a break from Enterprise.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So it'll be a good time.
I meant a break from Enterprise specifically, so thank God for that. Follow us on Facebook and SoundCloud and the Tumblr at shbpodcast.com. No Tumblr next week because it's just Blade Runner. Yeah, this has been Chris.
This has been Ames.
This has been Caitlin.
And this is always Jay.
Red Squad, Red Squad, Red Squad, Red Squad. No one wanted to join in?
I was going to, but then I sensed that the end was coming. Like I knew that was going to be the last one, so I was like, all right. She's keeping going because she wants us to join, but she's going to stop. So I didn't.
But if I don't join, she'll just stop. My ugh is all over the theme, just appearing every so often wherever the note is.
That would be awesome.
Right, do the thing. I have diarrhea, so let's go.